Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Good to see all of you here today, and I'll add my welcome to Lee's and just say thanks for being with us today. I was out last week and sure missed being with you all, and for those who are new, we're glad you're here this Sunday, and so it's our first time to meet, and my name's Jeremy. I'm the pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis. Last week, I was out of town at A2 Church, which is one of our partner churches in Birmingham, Alabama, and Chris Goins was here with us back in the fall. Some of you guys remember that for a marriage weekend, and so we were getting to know A2 and just hanging out with them, and it was just such a fun experience to be there with them. But I have a story that kind of leads up to that, and it starts with Thursday morning. Tyler and I headed to the airport at about 3 a.m., okay? So 3 a.m., get it in your mind. Not many cars out on the road at 3 a.m., but we're traveling to the airport because our flight leaves at 5 a.m., so we're trying to get there on time and everything. So we get all the way past I-35 on 290, headed in that direction. We get there when Tyler's like, "I think I forgot my wallet." And so it's like 3:20 or so, right about that moment, and I'm so frustrated, and I'm like, "Tyler, how can you forget your wallet?" Well, then I called Ashley, and I said, and that's not a call you want to get, you know, but I call her, and I'm like, "Look, grab Tyler's wallet. If you could meet us somewhere in the Oak Hill area halfway, then we might be able to make our flight, you know." And so she's like, "Where is it?" And I said, "He doesn't know where he left it. He doesn't remember." And so she looks for a little bit. We're headed back. She calls me on the phone and she says, "I can't find Tyler's wallet." And I'm like, "Oh, crud." And then she said, "But I found yours. You left yours." So anyway, nonetheless, we made it to our flight and we met Ashley. It was awesome. So just telling on myself, a little forgetful at 3 a.m. So anyway, today I want to talk with you about a super simple topic, a topic that's really never had any questions over it in the church at all, but it's the topic of healing. I laughed because the reality is there have been a lot of challenges and a lot of controversy over this subject of healing. Does God still heal today? Does he still work in the miraculous here and now? And I think that it's pretty important to talk about this because I see a lot of people walking around broken. And in fact, it's interesting, in my journey of trying to figure out what does the Bible actually say about this, then I started to dig into it for myself and realize there's two camps of people. One camp is over here, and they would say that healing was for the times of the Bible, like when people were writing the Bible, that's when healing occurred, and the New Testament and the apostles, and once the last apostle died, then those things stopped happening. No more miracles today, because that only happened back then. And the technical word for that is a cessationist viewpoint. Like you believe that the gifts and the miracles that occurred then ceased after the last apostle. Then over here you have a different group, and these are the people who believe that all the gifts happen all the time and they're available to the church today. And I would say that probably the church at Lake Travis falls somewhere in the middle. We're not either extreme. However, we want to teach what God's word says and really see how God can work through his word. Lee mentioned that my mother-in-law Donna is here today, and this conversation about healing started with them, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, about 20 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, where I was sitting over dinner with them and we started having this conversation about, is it God's will to heal people here and now. And I had gone through a series of different conversations with other people who had said, you know, that was for then, that was that camp. And then they were over here in this other camp that said, yeah, we believe God does still do that. And, you know, you're not prone to trust your in-laws. So that kind of led me on a different journey where they introduced me to another guy that believed that God still moved in this way. And this was very interesting. His name was Steve Franklin. Steve, his son had been diagnosed with a serious chronic disease. And the doctor said to Steve and his wife, Dina, that he probably won't make it to his teenage years. And I think Bryant, at the time, their son, was around 11 or 12 when I met them. And then I got to watch them over the next 10 years. They, without question, believed that it was God's plan for Bryant to be healed, and they trusted in God's healing to occur in Bryant's life. Over and over again, I got to watch them plead with God and believe him and what he said in his word. And Bryant lived to the age of 21 years old when the doctor said he wouldn't die in his early teens. It was really miraculous to see that kind of work, and we know that we got to see God's goodness revealed in Bryant's life. Now, I say this is a challenging question because we all know people who have prayed to be healed and who weren't. And we all know people who have asked God to do a miracle, and it seemed like that he didn't do what we were asking for him to do. We all have those questions in our life, like if God is so good, and if he's really all-powerful, and if he says in his word that he heals, then why are there hospitals? And why can't we just walk into cancer wards and lay hands on little kids and they would be healed and then every cancer ward would be emptied? We all have questions like that. And I think that when we all get to heaven, we're going to have those conversations with God. Although I think about it a little different than maybe you do. Because a lot of people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, you know, very accusative almost. And I think that's a little bit arrogant, just saying. I think that God's pretty all-powerful, and I don't know that our finite minds really are worthy to be questioning God in that way. Although, we'll talk about a little bit next week, real talk with God. But what I would say is this, that when we get to heaven, that there is going to be not the sounds of angels singing like you might think, hallelujah. No, we're probably not going to get that. We're probably going to hear this other sound, and the sound is going to be this: in the middle of God revealing all truth to us in one instant of his presence, we're going to hear, that's going to be the sound all over heaven, because all those questions that we have about people that we thought would be healed didn't get healed and ended up going on to heaven, which, by the way, is kind of a loophole in God's whole plan, that because you are ultimately healed in his presence. But here's what the scripture says, and I believe it's true: for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. And my ways are not your ways, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. This is God's word. I learned this principle about 20 years ago, though, that I believe relates to healing, and I want to share it with you today. And this principle is this: that the truth will change the facts. The truth will change the facts. In fact, say that principle aloud and together with me. The truth will change the facts. Come on, a little bit stronger. The truth will change the facts. Yes, the truth will change the facts. Let's look at some truth today, and then we're going to look at some of the facts that go along with our lives, the circumstances of our lives. But the first is the truth. Let's talk about some Old Testament truth about God. We know from the Old Testament that God is called the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, our healer. The Hebrew word for healer is Rapha. And so we have the Lord, our healer, as mentioned in way back in the book of Exodus, that none of the diseases that came upon you while you were in Egypt would come upon you because the Lord is our healer. Then we get this passage in Isaiah 53 speaking about the Messiah. And this passage from Isaiah 53 speaks about him. It says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He took care of our sin problem. And by his wounds, we are healed. And I love the way Psalm 103 talks about it. David's writing this psalm, and he spells out the benefits of following the Lord. He says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul." He's preaching to himself. Somebody might need to do that here today. You might need to just say, "Praise the Lord, my soul." Sometimes we got to talk to ourselves. "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Some people want to know, are there benefits in following Jesus? And I would say this passage says, yes, there are. And here are the benefits of following Jesus, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases. I think that's an incredible promise because I believe there are two ways that Satan wants to take us down. Number one, he wants to take us down by our sin. And Jesus came so that our sin problem would be taken care of, so that we wouldn't stand in defeat, but that we would stand victorious. The second thing, though, I believe Satan wants to take us down with sickness and disease. And the reality is we can glorify God in suffering and glorify God in sickness, no question about that. But how much more effective are you when you are healthy? Vastly more. So I believe this is a benefit to following Christ. Now, the New Testament speaks about this as well. And when Jesus was walking the earth, he demonstrated what God had concealed in the Old Testament gets revealed in the New Testament. And we see this in the life of Jesus. I love this story. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes to Peter's house. Peter was one of his disciples, and he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. I love this care that Jesus takes for Peter's mother-in-law. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Many times I have taken the hands of my children when they've had a fever, and I've prayed this very passage over them because of this. When evening came, many of whom were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed some of the sick. No, he didn't heal some. He healed all the sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, actually the verse before the one we looked at, that he took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. He took all of that on himself. He bore all of those things. In Matthew chapter 4, it talks about Jesus' ministry before that story, and it says he went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, all different kinds of things, the paralyzed, and he healed them. I love this. Now, some may say, Jeremy, that was true in Jesus' time and while he was on the earth, but that doesn't count for right now, here and now. But here's what post-resurrection. Jesus has died. He rose from the dead. And about 20 years have gone by. And the apostle Peter writes a letter to the church. And he says this, 1 Peter 2:24. Speaking about Jesus, he himself on the cross bore our sins. He took care of the sin problem in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Please know this. Jesus, when he saves you, he accepts you right where you are, but he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to move closer to him, and he wants you to live a clean, holy, righteous life. He takes care of that sin problem. And then look what it says. It says, by his wounds, you have been healed. Past tense. It's an aorist verb, only found in the Greek language, that aorist verb, which indicates that it happened once for all. And that you and I can experience healing here today because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. The atonement of Christ covered our sin and it covered our disease. We can follow Christ in a healthy way, in a whole way, because of what Jesus did for us. In fact, I want you to see something. This is a quotation of the Isaiah passage. Isaiah 53, verse 5, it'll come up here on the screen, says, "By his wounds we are healed," present tense. But now, fast forward, post-death, resurrection, we find that Jesus, chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter, "By his wounds you have been healed." Isn't that powerful to see? I think it's a powerful truth that we need to understand, because I believe the truth will change the facts. The truth will change the facts. Now, this is a consistent message of Scripture. I want you to know that. This isn't what some people call proof texting, where we're just pulling out verses to support our point. We are looking at God's truth from Old Testament all the way to New Testament. And we're looking at the holistic picture that Jesus came to provide healing to every aspect of our life. Now, you may say, "But Jeremy, you don't know the facts in my life. You don't know my story." And you're right, I don't know your story, but I know mine. And I know where Jesus has worked, as I believe the truth, where he's worked and changed the facts of my life. You know, I believe that there are many people who've had emotional trauma in their life. In fact, my own life, my relationship with my dad was so bad. He left when I was one, and then he was in and out of my life all growing up. And just the emotional pain of that was very traumatic for me. I know that statistically that there's like 1 in 3 women who've gone through some kind of abuse in their life. And I know the emotional pain that can be caused through that. I know for me personally, I was exposed to pornography when I was about 10 years old. And then that carried on through my teenage years. And I know that I've had to see believing the truth about what God says about me change the facts in my mind about all the things that I was exposed to as a young man. And I believe that we all have facts in our life that can be changed by believing the truth. We have physical things, cancer, diabetes, chronic heart conditions. I know, because I know many people in our church family who have various physical ailments. We have relational things that we need to experience healing. We have marriages that are on the rocks. We have people that have gone through nasty divorces. We have people that have kids that are alienated from them, that they haven't spoken in years. Or we have siblings who haven't spoken in years. And God wants to heal the facts. Those things that are very real in our life. We all, at one point in time, had a spiritual brokenness, a chasm that existed between us and a holy God. And God sent Jesus to lay down his life so that that chasm could be covered by the cross of Christ. And we could become a part of the family of God. And that chasm that once existed no longer does. We've been adopted into the family of God. Now, the problem is this. You may be already going here in your mind. The problem is that all of those other areas of our life can remain broken. Like, we can remain emotionally damaged, mentally damaged. We can remain relationally broken. But physical healing raises a little bit more of a concern. Physical healing raises a little more tension, because we all have those relationships of people that we know who have battled with some kind of physical thing and didn't get healed. And so we struggle with that one a little more. Like, we don't balk at, like, "Oh yeah, my friend went through a divorce and they've been dealing with that emotional pain for years." We don't struggle with that. But we know if someone doesn't get healing from cancer, that the result is either, if they don't go into remission or get healed, then the result is death. And death seems so final for us. And we know that death isn't final for the believer, that God gives us incredible hope that we can, in fact, spend eternity whole and healed with him. However, it creates a little tension for us. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I feel the tension in the room. So let me tell you this little story. There was a man and his wife, and they were watching a television show, and there was a televangelist on the television show. If you don't know what that is, that's one of those crazy-haired preachers that gets real red-faced on the TV, you know, when they're preaching. And so they're watching this televangelist on the TV, and I'll just say, Micah was telling me, Micah was up here leading worship earlier. He told me he watched one of the Fletch movies, whichever the one where he was a televangelist and he was like faking people out and doing all that phony junk. Well, I think that's how this televangelist was on the TV. So he said this to the little old man and little old lady that were sitting in their living room watching him on TV. He said, "If you will just stand up, and you will come over to the TV and you'll lay your hand on the TV. And then you'll take your other hand and you'll put it on the part of your body that's sick. I will heal you." And so the little old lady gets up out of her chair and she walks over to the TV and puts her hand on top of the TV and takes her other hand and she puts it on her stomach. And then she turns and sees her husband out of the corner of her eye, and he's making his way over to the TV, and he puts his hand on the TV and puts his other hand in his groin area. And the woman looked at him and she said, "He said he would heal the sick, not raise the dead." If you're under the age of 20, you won't get that, by the way, but that's okay. That's funny. That's funny, y'all. You'll get that. Come on. You got to laugh at that. Let's talk real quick about four ways that you can believe God for healing in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life. Four ways you can believe God. And then I want you to hear a powerful testimony of God's healing. So, number one, learn the truth of God's word. Learn the truth of God's word. Learn the truth of God's word. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my wife's word for it. Don't take my mother-in-law who's going to share his word for it. Don't take Lee's word for it. You get this book and you soak in it and you let it sink into your heart and mind and soul and believe the truth of what this book says. And as you do that, know this, that his word is the truth. Jesus said it this way in John 17:17, he said in his prayer for you, the church that he was envisioning in the future, he said, "Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth." And then he gave this caveat and said, "Your word, O Father, is truth. Sanctify them by the truth." The writer of Hebrews says it this way. We studied the book of Hebrews this past year. We're going to finish up that in a couple of weeks in chapter 13 and go over the last little chapter there. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he says it this way. He says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That's critical to understand, because some of us, we learn the truth of God's word and we get it right here in our head, but it doesn't sink down into our heart where we really believe. I think that's an important part, because Romans chapter 10 says that we can confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth, but it is with the heart that we believe and are justified before him. I think it's important intellectually to get these things. And I think a lot of us, like, we nod and we say, "Yeah, I believe that to be true." And yet at the same time, it hasn't sunk down to where we really believe it in our heart. So learn the truth of God's word. Number two, eliminate the noise of doubt. Eliminate the noise of doubt. I think about saw Paul, who was here back in December, and he was talking about, all of you haters, come on, drop the deuce is what he said, right? Some of us have haters in our life. We have the haters in our life who are saying, I don't know. I'm not sure if God wants to heal you. I mean, if he does, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But you know the truth of God's word. And so you need to align with people who know the truth of God's word. I don't know about you, but when I'm sick, I don't want to ask for people that don't believe that God's going to heal me to pray for me. Well, God, I mean, if Jeremy can just stay sick a little bit longer, I don't want that prayer. I want to eliminate the noise of doubt in my life. I love this passage from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, this guy brings his son to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if you can, please heal my son. And Jesus, I love his response. He says, almost like to me, it sounds a little sarcastic. He says, if you can, what do you mean if you can? Everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately, I love the boy's response. The boy's father exclaimed, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help me eliminate the noise of doubt in my life. I want to believe that you are my healer. Here's what Philippians chapter 4 says. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the result will be, some of us need this because our lives are so chaotic, and the result will be the peace of God will be with you. Does anybody here need peace while they're waiting on God's healing to take place in their life? So eliminate the noise of doubt and distraction in your world. Number 3, separate the feeling of the facts. Got the facts over here from the truth of God's word. We have to separate the feeling of the facts. The reality is the facts are no less factual. They're happening in our life. But we have to separate that and say that's circumstantial, but the truth never changes. And I'm going to choose the truth over the facts because I believe the truth will change the facts. Here's the way that I like to explain it. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll take a look at a few verses. Ephesians chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you were dead. Yeah, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That is fact, Jack. That's the fact. But here's the truth. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That's the truth. It is by grace you have been saved, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The truth, believing the truth, changes the facts. You once were dead in your sin, but through the truth, believing Jesus' death, burial, resurrection on your behalf, you then become alive. You were dead, but now you're alive. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel saved. I mean, I have days where I wake up and I feel like I'm a million miles away from God. Anybody else here feel that way? I believe that sometimes we start to live by feeling, but the scripture says that we don't live by feeling. We don't live by sight, the Romans writer said, but we live by faith. And faith in the truth. I think this is so important. I don't always feel saved, but believing the truth changes the facts. I am saved. I was lost and broken and undone, and I was not healed and whole. But because of Jesus, he changed the facts, and he made me whole and healed and saved and righteous in his eyes. I have been saved, and my facts have changed because I believe the truth over the facts. This is God's word that changes the situations of our lives. And we have to separate those things. Now, I know this gets challenging, because when we have a stomach bug and we are hugging that toilet, puking our guts up on the floor of the bathroom, we have a hard time separating the feeling of what we're having right that moment, right? And it's hard to say, I know, God, by your stripes, I have been healed. I know. That's tough. And we might even start to look at our lives and say, God, have I done something wrong? I mean, I don't know if you've ever felt that way when you had a stomach bug, but I sure have. Like, have I done something wrong? I'll do anything, God. I'll go on the mission field if you'll just let me stop throwing up right now. I'll go without air conditioning. I don't need that. If you'll just help me be healed. Because at that moment, you don't feel like the facts of your reality are changing. But you can separate the feeling of the fact from the truth of God's word. And then finally, I would say the fourth way is to surround yourself with people of faith who will believe God with you for healing. This is why getting involved in a house church, this is why going to Man Church, if you're a man, going to Women's Wednesday, if you're a woman, is so important. Because we all have weak moments in our faith where we need brothers and sisters who will lock arms with us and say, we will believe and stand on the word of God with you, and we will trust that God will bring to pass what his word said he would bring to pass in your life. We need that band of brothers and sisters in our life. I know that I've needed that in my own life, and I know there are people here that need that in their life. Now, the book of James talks about this, and it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And I love that. It's like you can achieve God's potential for you in small ways by yourself. You can know the truth and start to let it sink in, and you can start to get it, and you can, if you're in trouble, you can pray on your own. But then it's progressive. It says, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And then it says, is anyone among you sick? And here's the instructions it gives. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Not the prayer. It has nothing to do with the people. But the Lord's power works through the people so that the Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. I think that's an interesting concept. Like, hey, sometimes we just need to confess our sin and just say, hey, God, I'm a sinner. Let's not be so prideful to say, I've got it all together. But we confess our sin one to another, to each other, so that you may be healed. Very interesting. And then he says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Listen, the truth will change the facts. And I want you to know here today, God still heals. He heals emotional pain. He heals relational pain. He heals brokenness and all kinds of various situations in our lives. And I believe that God is still in the physical healing business as well. And I want to borrow from a story that happened here a few years ago. We had a situation where we had invited people up for prayer, and there was a woman named Tina who came up for prayer, and she was asking for her son to be healed and delivered from drug abuse. And she came up for prayer, and our prayer team prayed for her, and it was just so cool to watch them minister to her and love her in that moment. Well, just a few months later, we started getting reports about James, her son, and he had been set free from his drug addiction. And he had started reading God's word and learning God's word. And then he reached out to Pastor Lee and asked if Pastor Lee would start to mentor him and disciple him. And now today, James is loving Jesus, serving him, and he's moving on. And he started discipling other men. And it's awesome to see the power of God moving and at work today. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give God glory. Yeah. That is the power of God when people surround others in prayer. Now I want you to hear from my mother-in-law, Donna Lombard. She's going to share about how God's been working in her life. Would you join me in giving her a much bigger welcome than you just gave just a moment ago? Yeah. Thank you.
I want to do two things this morning. One is I want Jesus on stage. I want him to get the praise and the honor and the glory. And I want to give the devil a kick in the seat of the pants. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. It wasn't uncommon for us to gather together as Christ followers and anoint and pray for people to be healed. We would sing songs about healing. The preachers would preach sermons about healing. And on Wednesday nights, we would have testimony service. And people would get up and they would give praise to God for the healings that they had received in their body. As I fast forward through my life as a believer, I've seen my children be healed. And I've heard of healing miracles from many, many others. Nevertheless, when I opened the window of my life on January 31st of 2017, I found my faith challenged. Not only challenged, but attacked. My family and I, we sat in an 8x8 room waiting for my new oncologist from MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. I had been diagnosed with metastasized breast cancer. When we were shown the results of my scans, my spine looked as if it was missing, like someone had taken a black magic marker and erased it from my body. My doctor was kind and gentle. And she pointed out that the black spots were tumors. I am amazed at the power of words. Just words. Those words immediately brought tears. They brought despair. Those words brought fear. And they immediately began to steal peace from me. Those words wrapped around me like a weight too heavy to bear. So the question is, what happens now? What do you do? What's the plan? God's word has always been such a comfort to me. Isaiah 65:24 says, even before you call, Donna, I will answer. Looking back now, I realize there was a plan that went into motion within hours. We didn't collaborate. We didn't have a family meeting, but it's just as if everybody took their positions. Phone calls were made and the troops were gathered and people began to pray. The anointing oil came out. People blew the dust off their swords and communion became our daily meal. we made the decision, we're going to fight the fight of faith. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That word there means they're not of this world. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Guys, we were not in the bunker. We were on the front lines. And we needed weapons, but not weapons that were of this world. Proverbs 4:20 and 22 says, and I like to put this in the first person, Donna, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And listen to this, y'all. They are health to your whole body. Could this be true? Can I make a confession this morning? Of course I can. Everybody loves confessions. I'm weird. You can even call me a Bible beater. But I believe the Word of God is powerful and it's creative. And He sent His Word and He healed me. The Word of God became an anchor for us. I love the Bible. And in the Bible, Satan comes at Jesus three times when Jesus is weak. He's just been in a 40-day fast. See, the devil doesn't play fair. He comes at your most vulnerable times. But Jesus gives us a YouTube video on how to defeat him. Three times Satan comes at him, and three times Jesus defeats him with it. My friends, my family, my church has stood and seen the fulfillment when God says, I will watch over my word to perform it. I've had 4 brain MRIs. They found a spot that on the base of my brain that looks suspicious. They were so sure it was cancer. They had set up an appointment for a procedure called Gamma Knife. After 4, the doctors finally conclude, and I think after much prayer and much word, he said, I'm letting you loose. It is not cancer. I was told I would need radiation. I have not had one day of radiation. At my first appointment, my tumor markers were in the 400s. A year later, they are now at 26. They saw tumors all up and down my spine. In a year, I have not had one pain pill. I'm on chemo and I don't have side effects. After last scans, I love it because God let us hear these words that we needed to hear. And the doctor said, we can see that the bones are healing. Guys, my mouth is so full of praise. I want to just quote this song, and I'm going to spare you. I'm not going to sing it. And I'm going to ask the millennials to forgive me because it's old. but it describes my life this year. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hope's been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to give in to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. This is my favorite part. For the chains that seem to bind you, they serve only to remind you that they lay powerless behind you.
Let's praise the Lord together. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may stay standing. Here's what I want to do. I want to invite our prayer team to come. We're going to have a prayer team at each of the corners here and prayer teams in the back, because here's what I know. I know there are people here who need God's healing touch, who need God to do a miracle in their life. Like a man that told me about 15 years ago when I was teaching this principle, he said, I heard the truth of what you said, that the truth will change the facts, and pain in my back went away. And I would see that man for 3 years after that. And every time I'd see him, he'd say, Jeremy, his name was Dwayne. He'd say, Jeremy, I still remember. The truth changes the facts. And I've not had that pain in my back ever since that day. I believe the same God that did the miracle in the New Testament is at work today. And he can do the miracle in your life today. And so I want to invite you. As we come to the communion table, this is a reminder of Christ's finished work on the cross for us, that his body was broken for us. By his wounds, we have been healed. And his blood was shed for us. Our sin has been forgiven. And so you can come to the communion table. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer team will be here in the front and in the back. We're glad to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you so much for my friends here today. And thank you that your presence is here in this place. And when you show up, God, like you are right now, we believe that our faith rises, and you love when we have faith and believe in your power and your ability. And so I pray that you will do your work in your way here in this place. For people that are here today who need salvation, they just need to experience your healing and their relationship with you. And that spiritual chasm that was there, I pray that they would come for prayer. I pray for those who have physical or emotional or mental or relational healing that needs to occur, God, that they would come. Give them courage now. Give them faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Communion tables are open. Prayer teams are here. You may come at this time.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.